Well, good evening. So glad to see you and appreciate your coming back to hear the Word of God once again. And that's what we're going to focus on. This morning we were talking about friends and the greatest friend that anybody could ever have as well. And a couple of the greatest friends in the ministry that we have, and that is with Dwayne Thorpe and his wife, Joanne. And many of you, you've arrived at this church in more recent years, but 15, 16 years ago, he pastored this church. And maybe Paul is the only one that here that remembers him. I'm not sure. But I think most of the rest of you are more recent attenders than that. But we get together. Well, we try to get together monthly. We're not too successful, but we try. That's worth something, isn't it? And he found out I was preaching here tonight, and they're kind of gluttons for punishment or something. Their church meets in the morning, and then they meet at 2 o'clock, right? In the afternoon, and they're done for the day. And then they came back here for another message tonight. How spiritual can you get, I would say. Oh, my. I encourage you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, chapter 6. And we'll look at one verse in particular, but I'm going to read half a dozen verses here first. These six things, we're at verse 16. I didn't tell you that, did I? These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, even seven are an abomination. Did you get that word? Seven are an abomination unto him. This is good information to know. Seven things in a list that are an abomination to God: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that are swift to running to mischief, that's evil, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for that list. We know it's an important list to you. And I pray, Lord, as we think on it, contemplate it, expand upon it, that we might hate those things with a vengeance ourselves, because you do. Guide us, open our hearts and minds to it. Help us to focus on the Word of God and what you have to say about these and one of them in particular. In Jesus' name, amen. So I've titled the the message tonight, the proud look hated. Do you have a list, or could you put together a list of things that you hate? I have a list. I'll share it with you. I hate dill pickles with a vengeance. I really do. I hate olives. They're related. We go to the Olive Garden and get soup and salad. Well, true to their name, they put a lot of olives in the salad. And we carefully pick them all out and put them on my wife's salad because I hate olives. I hate coffee. I remember, in the past 60 years, I suppose, I've drunk 2 half cups of coffee. I remember exactly why I drank them. We were ministering in Wisconsin in a Norwegian community. And both half cups were in separate homes, and we were visiting people that had visited the church. And Norwegians just assumed that everybody that draws breath also drinks coffee. And so I would just choke a half cup down. I didn't want to offend, you see. And so I hate coffee. I put up with coffee lips, but not coffee as such. I don't know if I should put this on the list of things hated, but I don't like sauerkraut. You see a pattern there? I like sweet things. I don't like sour things. We move from food now, and I hate people that, I don't hate the people, I hate their habits, that come late always. We had a lady in our church in Colorado. She lived 2 blocks south of the church. Now, she had to go over a block and come around to the church. But she never came to church on time. Never. Well, that's between her and the Lord. I can live with that, you see. But why not be early and fellowship with God's people, as the way I look at it. The last one I put down on the list was people lying to me. Oh, how that burns me. People lying to me. Did you notice that most of the things I hate relate to food? And yet I do like food. I really do. Would you believe at one time I weighed 198 pounds? Well, I did. We moved from the farm to the city, but we didn't quit eating like we were on the farm. And one day I weighed myself and I said, oh, we got to do something about this. And so I made some corrections. God's list all has spiritual connotations to it. Did you notice that as we read through that? I had no trouble selecting dill pickles as number one, but God selected, which one did he select as number one? pride. Now, none of you here, I understand, would have any problem with pride. But we're going to talk about it so you can encourage others. Actually, I hope you'll give some serious thought about yourself. God praises humility. God hates pride. And you, I know in all honesty, that most all of us, if not everybody here, struggles somewhat with pride. That's part of our human nature, our sinful nature. But God hates it. Now, in our common usage of pride today, there are a couple of concepts. One has to do more with pleasure, delight in something. Sometimes there's a very fine line there. But the first one, the less harmless one these days, is satisfaction, pleasure in your own or someone else's achievements, someone close to you maybe. You might be proud of the job that you do. You're pleased. You're satisfied with it. That's why I say sometimes there's a fine line between the two, you see. The type that just takes pleasure in something and the type that is what God hates, what God delights in. And so we need to be very careful about that. We need to examine our own lives. I was preaching a few months ago on the matter of lying, or at least that was part of the message. And I said, even little lies, don't do that either, because you do it enough and it leads to big lies. And a lady came to me a while back and she says, you remember when you preached on that? She says, I started looking up my own life and I realized what a liar I am. Wow. And she says, I'm really working on it. Even the little lies. I wasn't telling big lies, but I don't want it to lead to that either. Well, we need to guard our lives carefully in the matter of pride, self-examination. So pleasure, delight. People use pride, the word pride, in that sense at times today. Sometimes it's hard to tell just what they mean by it. But I don't even use the word. I don't want to be proud of anything. I don't want to convey that spirit, that attitude at all. But this is the exaggerated self-esteem. Haughtiness, arrogance, exalted opinion of oneself. It doesn't have to be huge exaltation of oneself. Pride, once it gets started, if it's not checked carefully, it continues to grow. It continues to develop in our lives. This is what God hates. This is the way pride is used in the Scripture. So my challenge to you tonight, as you probably have already figured out, is eradicate pride from your life. eradicate it, get rid of it. And we'll talk a little bit about what you do instead. Eradicate pride in your life because, number one, because God hates it. Number one in the seven that he mentions, he hates pride. God's hatred, God's condemnation of pride is simple, straightforward, clear throughout the Word of God, unmistakable. God hates pride. God never commands pride in anyone. Why would anyone want to have in his heart and life that which God so positively despises and hates? The simple answer to that is because we have a sinful nature. That's why we would nurture it at all. At the heart of living for God, at the heart of living to please God, and that's why God saved us, was that we might please him, that we might honor him, that we might get busy and do the things that he wants us to do. The heart of Christian growth, the heart of Christian development in our lives is to know what God loves, to love the things God loves, to know the things God hates, and to hate the things that God hates. Now, it's always a pleasure to see you coming back on Sunday night. I don't know if we have half the people here tonight that we had this morning. And I congratulate you on that. But, you know, we can't get enough of the Word of God. We just can't get enough of it. It speaks to our hearts. It guides us. It directs us. And the more we hear, the better. I know that's not the popular thing today. You're not doing the popular thing, that's for sure. Because many of you were here for the Bible study hour earlier this morning, and then for the worship service and the preaching of the Word. And here you are back again. And I commend you for it. It's what God, I'm convinced, would have us to do. But oftentimes today, people are quite content with 1 hour on Sunday, maybe 2 or 3 weeks out of the month. How do you grow? How do you develop with that little bit of the Word of God? And you say, well, they can read it during the week. Yeah, I know they can. I also know that most of them don't. That's what really, really concerns me, is they don't. But that's what we ought to do. We ought to learn the Word of God, learn what God hates, learn what God loves. I love my wife. I want her to be happy. I want her to be happy with me, you know. And so I purposely do not try not to do things that irritate her. And she's not good at hiding things that irritate her. So I know what irritates her, you see. And so I work on pleasing her, making her happy. That's exactly what we ought to be doing with God and for God as well. Personal pride exalts self unjustifiably. Pride takes personal credit unjustifiably for who you are and what we are. I thank God frequently these days for who He is, what He is, and what He does as well. Who He is, He's the God of all the world. What He is, He's the Creator. He's the Savior. He's God. And what He does. And even though at times you can wonder, is God in control of anything in this world? And the Word of God makes it very clear. He is in control. Even when we might question it, we might doubt it. God is in control. And so, pride, what's it do? Pride helps us to look down on others, put ourselves on a higher plane. That ought not to be. You may have been very successful. You may be becoming very successful. And it's easy to get proud of that. Now, it's wonderful if you're ambitious. But thank God that you have that in your bones, in your heart, in your mind, if that's the case. Because I know a lot of people that are not. They're just naturally lazy. And they don't apply themselves. What we ought to do is thank God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, in everything, give thanks. Everything. Give thanks. You see, no matter how bad things get in your life, there are still things to thank God for. So in every situation, give thanks. You may be wise. You say, well, I'm sure a lot smarter, a lot wiser than so-and-so. That's probably true. It might not be true, but it could well be true, you see, because God doesn't make us all alike. And some have far better abilities than others. And so we ought to be thankful for whatever ability God has given to us. You might be healthy. I'm the oldest of four. And one passed away three months ago. And the next one is, I don't know how long he's going to last. He's got a whole list, more than that, of things wrong with him. I have a third one that doesn't have quite as many things wrong. But I still get around and take care of my wife. And in everything, give thanks. I'm not proud of the fact that I have the health that I do. I don't have any of the maladies that my siblings have. But I say, that is from the grace of God and the goodness of God to me. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, the Apostle Paul says, and what hast thou that thou didst not receive. Wow. Don't forget, if you have abilities, you have health, you have the things we've been talking about, thank God, because they come from God. Is it any wonder that the God who made us, the God who looks after us and cares for us, hates pride, because we should be thanking Him and praising Him all the time. So, eradicate pride from your life. First, because God hates it. Secondly, because it generates disobedience and rebellion against God Himself. Note again how God puts pride at the head of the list. He hates it. It was pride that led Satan to sin and brought evil into the universe. One of the big questions, puzzles in the world is, how did sin enter into the world? Whatever God made, He made perfect. But we turn to Isaiah, and in the book of Isaiah, we find a description of what Satan did. Satan was a marvelous creation. And we begin in chapter 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, who didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Now, Lucifer, Satan, did not have somebody like Adam and Eve in the garden that this same individual tempted successfully and plunged us into the circumstances we have today. He just did it. Even though he was an individual created by the Almighty, wonderful, marvelous God, and fell and is doomed to eternity in hell for the future as well. Well, John, in his first epistle, cites pride as one of three categories of all sin that is in the world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, he says, love not the world. Satan's the god of the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and the pride, oh my, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The pride of life, the pride of culture that we're all familiar with. And the world passes away, and the lust of it, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever, forever. Keep that in mind. You probably all know the heartache of people who loved the world, loved the things of the world, turned away from God, would have nothing to do with God. It could be relatives, it could be friends, it could be children. But pride, disobedience got in the way, and they followed that instead. So hate pride in your lives, because God hates it, number one, because it generates disobedience and rebellion right from the beginning with the devil himself. And then thirdly, because God resists the proud. We turn to the book of James. Normally I like preaching on a single passage, but this was more fit for moving around a little bit. But in James chapter 4, he says in verse 5, "Do you think that the Scripture says in vain, with no purpose, without any sincere purpose at all? Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain that the Spirit that dwelleth in us, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy?" That's a symptom of pride, you see. "But he giveth more grace." We'll come back to that in a little bit. In verse 10, he says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." Humble yourself. God resists the pride, the proud in heart and actions. I don't want God resisting me. I believe what the Bible says, that God blesses those who trust him and live for him. I don't want God resisting me, and you should not either. And the best way to avoid that is to just live for God, knowing on the basis of the Word of God how he would have you to live. And so he tells us in the book of Proverbs, I'll go back there for a moment, and in Proverbs chapter 16, verses 5 and 18. He says in verse 5, "Everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord." Get that? Proud in heart leads to pride in actions, is an abomination to God. I don't want to be an abomination to God. And you shouldn't either. "He shall not be unpunished." I don't want to be punished by God for anything. Verse 18, he said, "Pride goes before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall." We see that in people. We say, the Word of God talked about it. We believe it. we are going to steer our lives in a different direction. The proud look betrays a proud spirit inside of us. It ought not to be there. It is a spirit that stands against God, a soul that has corrupted itself and usurped for itself the prerogatives of God. Shame on us if we do that. So when you sense pride in your soul, cut it down. Stop and think. What does God say we ought to do instead? How should we be living? So let's be careful to do what God would have us do. Eradicate pride from your life, first because God hates it, secondly because it generates disobedience and rebellion against God, just like Satan did. Thirdly, because God resists the proud. And thirdly, because pride deprives you of the grace of God. I come back to James chapter 4 once again. And in verse 6, he says, and I didn't emphasize this part before, but he giveth more grace. The grace of God is, we sometimes define it as unmerited favor. And we need all we can get from God. His grace, His goodness, His kindness to us. Not that we deserve it. The last thing we deserve is His kindness. We talked somewhat about that this morning. The greatest friend we ever have is Jesus Christ. This is a principle that walks hand in hand with God resists the proud. Don't live so God is going to resist you. Live so He's going to pour out more grace upon you. For grace are we saved. But it doesn't stop there. It continues if we decide to live as God wanted us to do and we pursue it. Matthew 5:3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. The poor, not that they're in poverty, not that they're weak, they're poor in spirit, humble, recognize that God is God. That's what the place I had to come to in 1953. We were talking about that this morning. God is God, and I need to trust Him. I need to live for Him. And so you do too. I hope these thoughts from the Word of God tonight will challenge you. Search your own heart, your own life. You'll probably find some embers of pride lurking in there somewhere. It might pop right out. You might have to search for it. But most of us, including me, has to deal with it. Pride is an ugly sin in the eyes of God. How do you view it? How do you view it in your personal life? Do you work at eradicating it? Do you work on this principle? In everything, give thanks and praise our great God. I encourage you to do that. I'll close with this reminder again. 1 Corinthians 4:7. And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? That's pretty humbling in my life, in my mind. What do you have that you did not receive? What a God. What a marvelous God we have that showers abilities, blessings, all the things that we enjoy upon us. Let's thank Him for it. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the insight, like we've talked about tonight. And there are six more on that list to talk about. Six more messages. Six more things to consider. Six more things to evaluate our own personal lives by. But pride, number one in your mind, and you're working with us, Lord, help us each one to be attentive to what you hate, and even more attentive to what you love, and help us to do the things you love. In Jesus' name, amen.